thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole. And we also are part of Empire Media. What's going on, fellas?
Nothing much, man. Everything's good. Back in the studio. Feels good after 2 years. You know, a lot of fanfare outside. You know, people, you know, stopped, chopped it up with a couple fans, signed a couple autographs, took a couple pictures, man. So it felt good to be back in the studio.
Well, really? That's what we're doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing? That's what happened.
What's good, Ray Jeezy?
I'm good. Will, don't take this the wrong way, but your voice sounds pretty good considering what you said prior to the show. So I'm glad to hear that you're healthy, and I'm glad to hear that you're in person. Sorry I couldn't be there with you guys.
It's all good, man. It's all good. Thank you.
Well, we're happy to have you on, Ray, man. You know what I'm saying? We still got a full roster, bro. I wish you was in the studio, though.
I do, too.
Anyway, we got to get started early, man. Empire Media hosts multiple DMV sports podcast shows, such as the John Kahn Report, hosted by ESPN Washington Commanders insider John Kahn, and Jones Football, hosted by USA Today insider Mike Jones. Subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also, make sure you subscribe to the Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel as well. This show can be found on Podcast DC, the new local app with hundreds of options in local news and health in the DMV region. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content.
Don't forget to tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. Hit us up on IG at Urban Sports Scene and like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page.
Also, join our Urban Sports Scene Facebook group. Search Urban Sports Scene, sports bloggers, sports podcasters, and sports debates.
Will T.
Let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Oh, this is dope, man. We got a special, like, MEAC show. We'll talk with Norfolk State University men's basketball coach Robert Jones. He's also he's also coach of the year in the MEAC. The MEAC tournament starts this week, and Norfolk State Norfolk State is the overall one seed. At 8:20, we'll talk about the Wizards' debut of Kristaps Porzingis. Finally, we'll talk with University of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball coach Jason Crafton. UMES is taking on North Carolina Central Thursday. All right, right now we have Norfolk State University men's basketball coach, and I mentioned the MEAC coach of the year, Coach Robert Jones, on the line. What's going on, Coach? How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, brother? How's everything?
Everything's great, man. Everything's great. Appreciate you having on. I know you have a busy, you know, time. Obviously, the tournament is right down to, well, your game is coming up, and you try and get your boys ready.
Yeah, I mean, the game is tomorrow, and less than 24 hours at this point. So just trying to, you know, finish up last minute preparation to get ready to have a good showing, hopefully.
Definitely. So your team is number one in the MEAC with a 12-2 conference record and 21-6 overall. Your team plays Dale State Wednesday, as you mentioned. What's the feeling for your team going into that game?
I mean, but obviously we feel confident, but the thing I try to tell the guys is that, one, don't feel overconfident, and two, understand that Dell State is really a trap game for us, honestly, man, because their record is not that great, but they are playing a lot better. They're very close to winning games. They just haven't got over that hump, and we just can't let them get over the hump against us in the MEAC tournament.
All right, you are listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we're chatting with Norfolk State University men's basketball coach Robert Jones. Coach Jones, this is Will. Question for you. You mentioned that this is kind of a trap game for you. How do you mentally prepare your team to go against Dale State? Because, you know, you guys are the number one seed. They're the number eight seed. You stated that they're playing a little bit better. But your team has pretty much ran through the MEAC for the most part throughout this season.
Just pretty much what we're doing right now. Just keep telling them over and over that, you know, you can lose. It's a 0-0 season. You know, some stuff is cliche-ish, but at the same time, a lot of stuff is, very, very true. And, understand that right now, everybody has a chance to win the MEAC tournament championship. Yes, we won the regular season championship, and we, you know, we got the automatic NIT bid in our back pocket and things like that. But right now, everybody has a chance to win the MEAC tournament, to go to the NCAA tournament. So it's a fresh start for everybody, and we got to understand that what we've done has been great this year for the university and for HBCUs, being 21-6. But, you know, we got to finish the deal right now.
All right, Coach, you just said that everything at this point is – anything you could tell them is pretty much cliche-ish. What's the funniest cliche that kind of – that in your mind that you hear coaches tell players when they once they get to this part of the season?
That's a good question. I can't think of anything that's funny. But there ain't nothing to laugh about at this point. But, I mean, you know, I think this is stuff that people say all the time. You know, like I said, you know, everybody's 0-0, which is, you know, in a sense true. You know, everybody has a chance to win, which is, you know, in a sense true. I mean, you know, stuff like that. you know, all those cliches. You know, I know there's obviously we're the, you know, the favorite, and there's other teams that are looked at as dark horses or sleepers and things like that. And it's probably looked at, some teams looked at as that they don't have a shot, but really everybody got a shot right now. Everybody has a shot.
I love a good dark horse during this NCAA tournament time. Love it. Love it.
You said what, a good dark horse?
Yeah, dark horse. Whenever someone uses the term dark horse to describe a team, I love it.
Hey, Coach, I know you business-like, and you always like that. It's not just because it's tournament time. Like, this is how you roll. You always serious. But last time you was on that show, I'm going to remind you real quick. I'm going to paraphrase you. You took a dig at the West Coast Conference. You're like, it's Gonzaga and who else? I'll wait for you. And shoot, I was stuck in the town. Like, dang, who does play in that conference? you were basically saying that to say that the MEAC can become that. That Norfolk can become that. That's Gonzaga. And why I point that out is because now there's more attention on the MEAC. There's more attention on HBCUs, as we saw NBA All-Star Weekend. So is there any added pressure with the more attention that HBCU basketball is receiving, or do you view it as an opportunity?
I think it's an opportunity. I can't look at it as, like, more pressure. I think I put enough pressure on myself, period, just to try to win. So I don't look at it as, like, more pressure from my standpoint, you know, at all. But, you know, I do think that Norfolk could become like that, and other HBCUs can become like a Gonzaga. It's going to take the funding and things like that because, you know, the thing that I tell people all the time is that when you have winning, of course, you have other suitors that come after you and try to, you know, get you to leave and mm-hmm. things like that, you know, and people do what they want to do. So, it's, you know, there's no knock on anybody and stuff. And I guess everybody got a price, I guess. So, I mean, but, you know, at the same time, yeah, we all do. Whether you want to admit it, whether you want to admit it at night or not, everybody has a price, darn, you know. Right. But
million dollar man, baby, Chad DiBiase. No.
That's right.
Don't age us.
But the thing I do say, and I do challenge HBCUs, is that, you know, like when people, for example, people ask me, you know, when am I going to leave, and you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that, and I'm like, why can't the HBCU be the big school? Why we always have to go to a big, in quotes, a big school? Why can't we make the HBCU a big school? So it's like we gotta have more alumni, supporters, administrations that believe in that and want to give the funding to try to make an HBCU the big school, instead of having coaches, you know, try to have to leave to, like, you know, live out any dreams or whatever their case is. Hopefully, you know, HBCUs will start seeing the value in quality basketball, football coaches, mm-hmm. and you know, start, I guess, from a financial standpoint, you know, paying them accordingly, like how the big schools do, so now they don't feel like they have to leave to go, you know, to a big school. So hopefully we'll see that trend as well, because I know there's a lot of funding that's going into HBCUs right now. So the White House just, you know, gave what they gave, like, all this money today, $2.7 billion to HBCUs and things like that. I know we got, like, $52 million of it. So, you know, hopefully some of that goes into athletics, you know, and to build it up to be like a Gonzaga, because, you know, I'll still wait for the answer for that Gonzaga question. I'll still wait for that answer.
Hey, bro, I know you got to be politically correct, but I'm still, like I said, I'm trying to push it out to you tonight. Last night, Chattanooga hit like a miracle shot, and right away, they were projected as a 13 seed. We had a guest who also played HBCU basketball. Was like, I'm sick of HBCUs being a 15 seed and having to play a top seed in the first round. Is your mentality like, once we get there, if you get there, of course,
it don't matter who we play, or do you feel the same way? Like, look, they got to stop disrespecting us and put us at a seed that's not indicative of a conference that is weak, as they try to view the MEAC.
Oh, no, it matter who you play now. I don't know who says they don't matter who you play. It matters. Trust me, it matters. You know, the thing I say is that if you're going to put us as a 16, then put us in the first four. And people think that I'm crazy when I say that. And the reason why I say that is because if you're going to put us as a 16, put us in the first four, because we know the first four game, who we play, is going to be a like opponent. And then we'll probably be able to get a win, which is going to be great for HBCUs or the particular institution that's in that game, because to show that they can beat a PWI. Like, I'd rather do that than you put me as a straight 16. And, you know, for, like I said, for that reason. And honestly, if you win that game, you get a chance to stay in the tournament a little longer, you know?
Exactly.
So, and then from a school standpoint, you know, they get another financial unit. So everybody kind of wins in that regard. You know, people are like, oh, the first four. Well, the first four is not that bad. I'd rather do that than be a straight 16. But at the same time, I do believe that if we're fortunate enough to win this year, I mean, obviously we have to go 24-6. If we to win it, because I mean, right now there can't be any losing, so we have to win three more games and be 24-6. I do think 24-6 will warrant, or you know, and whether they do it or not, a higher seed than 16 or 15. You know, I think this, you know, you should be looking at like 14 seed and stuff like that, because I'm looking at you know, a team like UNCWA, which is running, you know, they're having a great year this year, and they got them projected as like a 15-14, but we beat them this year at their place, you know,
exactly. So.
You know, if they're granted a 14 or 15 seed, then why are we talking about us being a 16 seed? You know, that's when you have to make it make sense. When you can't make it make sense with that, then now it's the underlying tone, you know, with that stuff.
Perfect.
All right, Coach, I have one question. I'm going to get you out here on this question. There was an announcement, I think, last month that you'll be the coach in the College Basketball All-Star Game and Celebrity Extravaganza, I believe, in Ohio. On April 23rd. Yep. Could you tell us a little bit more about that event?
It's an event that's going to be comprised of some HBCU All-Stars, basketball versus the Ohio All-Stars. So it'll be like kids from Ohio State, Bowling Green, you know, all the Ohio institutions versus HBCU kids. And I was chosen to be the coach of the HBCU All-Star team. So, and then I also have, like you said, a celebrity game and I think Vivica Fox is the coach of that game,
oh,
if
really?
I'm not mistaken.
What?
Yeah. Viv. Auntie Viv is the coach.
It's a long time thirst.
So, she's a little older now, though. But
I know, right?
But Auntie Viv is the, and I think the girl, I think the rapper, I've got a girl, a little girl named Lele, is a coach, too. Of that game. That should be a good, you know, celebrity thing. And like I said, it'll be great for the HBCU All-Stars to play against them, because there'll be some, you know, from what they said, some NBA scouts and G League scouts and stuff like that watching that game. So, you know, right now it's all about creating exposure, as much exposure as you can get. And that's just another platform to create exposure. And, you know, I'm honored to be the coach of that game, because obviously they could have chose, you know, anybody, but they felt like, you know, I warranted that selection, and I'm going to go out there and try to do my best to win that game. You know, I told them before, I don't know how to coach an All-Star game. I'm too, like you said, I'm too intense to just coach, or like, just like, hey, you guys go do what you want. You know, like, I don't know how to coach an All-Star game, so I'm trying to go to win. You know, so, you know, if a kid messes up, he might come sit down. I don't, you know,
I know that's
you know.
Right. So, Coach, real quick before we do let you go, I do have, like, one question about, like, the tournament and this possible tournament run. If you had a name of a player that you need to step up, which is to show out, what play would that be for a big tournament run?
Two players probably would be neck and neck for us. It would be Dana Tate and Tyrese Jenkins. You know, everybody kind of knows about Joe Bryant. You know, he's a player of the year. Uh-huh. He, you know, gets all this fanfare and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Uh-huh. He deserves all of it because he's a good player.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have Jalen Hawkins, which is the second, you know, second guy. And Chris Bankston gets a lot of fanfare because he dunks everything, you know, so he gets a lot of hype. But really, Dana Tate and Tyrese Jenkins are the guys that we really need to step up to be the X factors for us. And if those guys can be the X factors for us, and I think that we can, you know, if those guys can step up and be the X factors, in addition to Jalen, Joe, and Chris Bankston, you know, doing what they normally do, that I think will be a tough out in the tournament.
Dope. And also, I mean, I would be remiss for asking this. How big was it for you to be named Coach of the Year of the MEAC?
I'll be honest with you, I didn't think I was going to get it. I never think I'm going to get it, because I think sometimes it's like, you're a victim of success, because mm-hmm. I mean, I've only got it one time. And, you know, to be personally honest, I think I should have got it more than one time. But, you know, there's always situations like if a team is picked, you know, back when it was 13 teams, a team was picked 10th and they finish, you know, 5th, then they get it. But people don't realize how hard it is to be picked 1 and then actually finish 1, because you got people gunning at you all year. And I think this year, you know, we have 4 starters out. Four starters that we lost from last year, and to still be finishing up number 1, which is, was a great feat, and I'm honored that my fellow coaches and SIDs and stuff like that chose me to be coach of the year.
It's well deserved, and personally, I hope you do stay in the MEAC. I hope you stay at Norfolk State, because I think you're building something special, and it's just cool to have a coach of your caliber coaching at HBCU.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, our president, AD, listening to the podcast too. We see what happens.
He better.
we'll do you even one better. We'll find him on Twitter and we'll add him.
Okay. All right. Cool.
All right. Coach, thanks for being on. We appreciate you. Is there anything you want to add before you dip out?
No, that's it, man. Mm-hmm. Just you know, hopefully we can have a good tournament run. It's going to be tough. The MEAC is a lot well balanced this year. I mean, a lot more well balanced. You know, it's also rated like pretty high in the you know, like the overall conference rankings, and sometimes it's rated like the next to last or last. And this year, I think we're like, you know, it's like four conferences below us this year. So that's a credit to everybody in the conference, not just myself but Norfolk State. That's a credit to all programs that have stepped up and you know, raised their level of coaching and players and all that great stuff. So it's going to be a war, and hopefully we can come out on top of the war.
Hopefully so. Thank you so much, Coach.
All right, no problem, man.
Bye. Awesome. That is, again, that's MEAC Coach of the Year, coach for Norfolk State University, Coach Robert Jones, man. Dope, man. Appreciate
that was dope. Great interview. And he also gave me a cliche. It's going to be a war.
It's going to be a war?
Yep. The NCAA tournament, you hear a lot of coaches and fans say it's going to be a war.
It's always going to be a war. It's a war. I mean, it's hard out here, man. It's hard in these streets, bro.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's harder in other places. But,
you know. But it's like, if you think about it, in the tournament, especially in the MEACs, right, some of these conferences, like, you can be this great, 21-6 overall, like 12-2 in the conference, and like, you literally, Jimmy, pretty much have to win the tournament.
Yeah,
which
I mean,
is kind of jacked up to me. But it's a
it is,
thing.
It is, it is.
You know what I'm saying? Thoughts, Ray Jeezy?
I just want to be real and just say I'm rooting for Norfolk. I feel like they got the most complete team, they got the most experience, and they can make the most noise in the tournament. While I love a number of coaches and programs, of course, including my alma mater, yeah, I think Norfolk has a chance to really make a dent. At a time where HBCUs are under a spotlight, a microscope, mm-hmm, it would be the perfect storm to watch them dudes make a run like a George Mason type run. I'm not even talking about, you know, like a fluke first round win, they get blown out the second round. I'm talking about a legitimate run to where they really capture the attention of the nation. There's nothing better than the NCAA tournament. And to see HBCU shine would just be amazing. I think Norfolk has the best chance. So I'm rooting for Coach Jones. I know we're going to have another coach on tonight, but still, I'm keeping it 100.
I feel you, bro. I feel you. But all right, we're about to talk about the NBA real quick. You know, the Wizards got the unicorn. That's Will's dude from New York.
He's no longer my dude.
But he had his Wizards Washington debut. Is he the answer for the Washington Wizards? We'll discuss this after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
Yeti.
Deuces. On Empire Media. That's empiremedia.com.
Sound like a commercial.
Southern University.
What's up with y'all?
Alabama State. Damn you. Clark Atlanta.
Good to be back.
I shake your money maker. Don't let that money maker. I shake that money maker. Don't let that money make it. Oh, shake your money maker. Don't let that money make it. I shake that money maker. Don't let that money make it, baby. Yeah, I shake that money maker. Don't let that money make it. You know I accommodate you. Can I accommodate you? I make you cool. I know you're home lately. I turn your curly hair into that bone straightener. I make you moan, baby. It feel right, don't it? I know I'm wrong, baby. That pheromone fragrance. Can't miss no car payments. I kiss her earlobe. Like, what you doing later? The broken alligator. Them lanes agitator. I'm talking out your beauty. No makeup applicator. She say I killed the...
I seen the affidavit. She blew my cap off like I had graduated. The roof decapitated, the booth contaminated. Hey, check my face card, I bet it's laminated. My jewelry carbonated, my yard a 100 acres. I like to nominate you, to roll my dice in Vegas. I shake your money maker, don't let that money maker. I shake that money maker, don't let that money make it. Oh, shake your money maker, don't let that money make it. I shake that money maker, don't let that money make it, baby.
Let go.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole. We are also part of Empire Media at empiremedia.com. All right. In his Washington Wizards debut against the Pacers, Kristaps Porzingis dropped 25 points in only 21 minutes. The Wizards won 133-123. What did you think of Porzingis' debut?
It was an impressive debut. Uh-huh. I'll say that. You know, he was coming off of the bone contusion in his knee. So there was some question about his ability to be, you know, just to be able to get up and down the court. And uh-huh. Will he have that athletic ability that he had, that he, you know, displayed glances of in Dallas and uh-huh. New York? He definitely seems like he's a guy who, well, look, regardless of how it ended in New York, and my somewhat bitterness about it, Kristaps Porzingis is a guy who's a piece that you can, if you have, you know, if you have the right infrastructure, meaning the right talent evaluators and the right GM/president making the right trades to bring in the right guys, he's definitely one of those guys, like top two or three guys that you could build around and your team could be successful long term. So I'm taking a wait and see approach with this, with anything with regards to the Wizards. But he's off to a promising start, and I think Washington fans, you know, over these last, what is it, like 20-some-odd games?
Yes.
You know, if he continues to put up these type of numbers, you should be. We should be, because I'm a Wizards fan also. We should be excited.
You are a Wizards fan too.
Yeah, we should be. We should be excited heading into next year.
Ray,
you the man. You the man. Yes, sir. That's the reason you're a Wizards fan. I appreciate that, Will, because my thought process is it goes like this: the old T.I. song, Wole, when T.I. was really popping back. This is like 03 to 06. He had a song called Motivation, right? And we know that Kristaps Porzingis is motivated at this point. He was not happy in Dallas. That was a report. And as a result, kind of like Ben Simmons, he just wasn't giving his all because mentally he wasn't there. So now you bring him to Washington, give him a fresh start. And also, he knows he's going to be featured. No Brad, his eyes lit up when he got on that court. And it showed and how well he produced in such a short period of time on the court. And that's what you need in today's NBA, in my opinion, is you need a big that can score and be versatile and play defense. And I think he can bring all those things to the table, especially when what? Motivated. So excited about what he can do. But overall, I think it's going to be an interesting summer based on the fact that Brad is just dropping those hints that he's ready to take that money. And I don't know how well you can build around those two. But Porzingis is going to be a good fit here just based on what I said. He's glad to have a new start. And this team has embraced them because this team also needed a change midseason for a young head coach and a roster that is brand new playing together.
Let me ask you this, Ray. You said when motivated, right? Does that concern you? I'm going to ask you this also, Wole. Does that concern you that a guy that talented, uber talented, came in and he decided, okay, I'm ready to play hard. And I'm ready to play and I'm ready to play hard now. And this is a guy that you want to build around your team going forward. Does that give you a concern to both of you?
It's annoying to me because James Harden did the same thing. He's a completely different dude now playing in Philly. Just like in his last days in Houston, he wasn't playing hard. In the NFL, Randy Moss did it. Guys at this level, they're going to express their feelings. They're going to express when they're not happy. And unfortunately, they're entitled because of their contracts and because of the way the league is structured. So this is the nature of the league. While it's frustrating, I think that it's across the board. So, no, I'm not too concerned about it.
I'm not that concerned about it. I just feel like, I mean, he's an individual that needs to feel like he's valuable, right? That's what it is. And in Dallas, it's all about Luka. So it's a little different. In New York, it was when he was playing well, it became all about him, right? Like he was like the unicorn. I think Melo went, did Melo go down and he started taking off?
I mean, he was flourishing while Melo was there. Yeah,
just that he likes the attention of being the guy. I think since Brad is out, it's probably a blessing for him just to get acclimated. I'm interested to know when Brad gets healthy, how is he going to try to? He's going to keep the same if he's healthy and plays the way he played in his debut. Could he keep that up when Brad is back? That's my thing because I think he has the ability and when healthy to be one of the better NBA players in the game. I'm not going to call him a superstar, but he's one of the better NBA players in the game because I think what you mentioned earlier, right, is that, you know, a lot of people, when they look at basketball players, they just look at scoring, right? But if you look at Porzingis, he's not just a scorer. He gets rebounds. He blocks shots. He's always – when healthy, he's a top 10 shot blocker. So defensively, he's a good defender as a big. So he brings so much to the table when he's healthy. It's just about – it's about feeling confident enough to just play his game and not worry about, all right, I'm not the guy. I shouldn't be taking this shot. I should be deferring to this person. Because if you looked at him in Dallas, it was like he was confused about when he should defer to Luka or when he should do his own thing.
Well, you hit on something that I wanted to ask both of you guys. How do you think he will mesh with Bradley Beal when Brad comes back healthy next year?
Ray, you want to tackle that first?
I'll go first. It all depends on the coaching. And I say that, and I mean that, because as we saw, Brooks, he gave Brad the keys. Right now, after seeing Dinwiddie's comments about how Brad, Ted, and Tommy brought me in, Brad has too much pull over there. Mm-hmm. So if Brad, who, even though I don't trust what he says anymore, because I believe he, of course, contributed to Wall leaving, I think that he didn't like Dinwiddie and the role that he was playing, he didn't want him scoring as much, even though he said, nah, I 100% vouch for him. So I think Brad, it's going to be up to, is he ready to be a leader of a team that plays good team basketball, or does he just want to simply be the guy that pads his numbers, gets the accolades, gets the money, or do you actually want to win, and do you want to utilize, as we just said, this versatile talent? It's all up to how much pull he's given. Really, he could become James Harden, where he could want out if he gets pushed back from Unsell, which I hope Unsell will take more of a leadership role and say, all right, Brad, this is my team, dude, we're going to win. And we're going to win playing defense, and we're going to do it playing as a team on offense.
I mean, should it fit? It should fit because he's a Porzingis is so versatile in terms of the way he can score the basketball. I mean, he can shoot from the outside, so Brad wanted to go ISO and kind of have the whole, you know, have the spacing and to go ISO and go one-on-one and then find a Porzingis in the corner or something. It could work. But the question is, it's not about, you know, working on putting up points, but working to win games. I think we all get fixated on 30 and this, that, and the other. But it won't be predicated on Porzingis because he won't be the face of the team, right? It'll be Brad. Brad's the face of the team. So we predicate on if Brad's going to play a particular style of basketball. One, as a leader, to be welcoming of Porzingis to kind of be comfortable and acclimated and feel comfortable to shoot the basketball when he needs to shoot the basketball and score when he needs to score the basketball if he's rolling. Secondly, if Brad is able to, you know, play that role that we saw, like, the, you know, if you're a two guard, right, you're scoring two guard and a 30 plus two guard because you can score the basketball. Take the role of how Kobe, Michael Jordan used to do it. Like the beginning of the game, it was all about what? Getting your teammates involved, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was like the first quarter. Jordan purposely tried to get Bill Cartwright involved. Kobe purposely tried to, once Kobe played a particular role in him, was like, all right, he was comfortable and it's getting comfortable and dominating, he tried to get other individuals off in the first quarter, and then he would take off second quarter, and so on. So it's about, that's the thing where Brad is going to have to realize, if playing with a Porzingis, or just, you know, being a better basketball player as a scorer, is that, all right, let me try to get my teammates off in this first quarter so they can have that, you know, confidence going, you know, going in quarter two, quarter three, quarter four, because I know I'm going to get mine. And for a player like Porzingis that we've already talked about, he's a guy that needs to feel like he's involved. He needs to feel like he's scoring the basketball. Needs to feel like he's doing something. If Brad can have that thought process, okay, let me get the unicorn going early, then I think as a team will be all right.
I think that you should take your own advice with getting me involved in the show. Like, I'm the unicorn. Get me involved early. Feed me the rock, and then I'll be more engaged, and I'll be able to do my station identifications on time, okay, like I'm about to do right now. You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. On Empire Media, that's empiremedia.com.
All right, well, there you go. Good read. Aren't you the next course question?
Well, I asked that question, so technically, it bounced back to you. So, you know, I'm letting you, you know, do your thing because I'm like the unicorn. I got my shots off early.
Gotcha.
So now you can go.
Got your shot. Pause. all right. So if let's say Porzingis is healthy and healthy, and Bill is healthy, two players, who's the better player? Ray, I'm starting with you. Who's the better player?
Yeah, you actually got trolled on Twitter by some.
I know. I saw some stupid joint.
But that's like a weird page. But
I know, right? That's why I didn't respond. Media, I didn't know if he was like some devil worshiper or something. I didn't know.
What did they say?
Do you believe in this? Something about God? Did he say something? Do you have?
He said something about. You need God because he was trying to basically say like it's not even a discussion between Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis. That's essentially what I interpreted he was saying. Like,
yes.
Dude, this is a dumb question. You know, Brad is the man.
Yeah.
But it's not a bad question because, like you just mentioned, I was thinking exactly what you were talking about when these great duos teamed up, big men and guards like a Kobe and Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, when they paired well and when they played off each other, you saw some extra special things happen on a basketball court. So. I believe if you revolve or build your offense and it revolves around Kristaps, I think that would be amazing. And Brad will benefit from, again, just his versatility, his ability to find the open guy, and his ability to shoot from the outside.
Yeah.
You see right now, Joel Embiid is loving life with Harden. Kristaps can do the same thing, because Kristaps is a pretty good perimeter shooter, just like Joel Embiid is. So it can work, absolutely. Again, it's all up to coaching and what Brad is willing to sacrifice and making it work with a guy that's just as high caliber. But I do think Brad is the more talented guy, honestly.
Talented scoring.
He elevates his game every year. I'm just saying he elevated his ball handling, even his long shot, his ability to find the open man. Defensively, he plays well in spurts. You know, we didn't see that when he first arrived to the league. And he's teachable. I think that he's definitely developed some form of ego, which comes with the territory of being the guy. Because he developed into that. Because he's the defer to wall, which means he's able to defer. Yeah. But now, again, it's ownership that gave him the keys. And I believe that he knows he's the guy. And he is arguably the most talented on the team. But the most versatile might be Kristaps. So it depends on what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, so this is my answer to the people who think it's a dumb question. I think the problem with individuals is that they're so into the present and they forget. And the question was, is when healthy? Right. So if you watch Porzingis when he's with the Knicks, when he was on that run, when healthy,
he was special.
Like, I think people forget, like, the dude was special. He just wasn't an average player. You're seeing him from the Dallas Mavericks perspective. And he was like I mentioned, wasn't healthy. But when healthy, that Porzingis is a bad dude. And to me, when you score 20 plus, your top five, your top 10 in block shots, top 10 in rebounding. I'm top tier rebounding. I won't say top 10. Top tier rebounding. Yo, that's special stuff compared to a dude. And no knock on Brad, because I'm like you, Ray. Brad is like 30-point score. His ball handling got better. You know, I think he plays good defense, to be honest with you. I think he plays good defense when he sets his mind to it. But I still think in today's NBA, he plays good defense. But I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm just saying that people forget what Porzingis is when he's healthy.
No, and you said it right. When healthy, right? When he's healthy, he possesses a skill set that isn't easily duplicated, right? He's like 7'2", mm-hmm. can shoot threes, is not afraid to mix it up and get physical. When you think of, you know, most European players, who have his frame, you think they're soft, but mm-hmm. he's not one of those guys. He'll go to the block, he'll get nasty, and he'll stretch. He can take if a team decides to match up with him with their more athletic 4 or 5 who's a shot blocker, he can take that guy away from the basket, mm-hmm. and he creates lanes on the opposite side for Bradley Beal to get to the basket and also for Kyle Kuzma. So I think, you know, anyone who was trying to troll you, they didn't necessarily interpret and read the question correctly. Mm-hmm. You said when healthy, because when healthy, he's unique, and that's why they used to refer to him as the unicorn.
Yeah, some people don't watch basketball enough. That's all they see is what in the current. But if you, again, like Will said, if you read when healthy, like the unicorn is a bad dude. But to Ray's point, though, I think it's not wrong if you run your offense through Porzingis. You could have a nice team, a nice squad. That's why I think that there's a chance that the Wizards can make the postseason, and, you know, and make a run at being a decent team. Maybe get out of the playing game with the Porzingis. What you think, right? They didn't get out of they can make it into the out of the playing game.
They have to make it to the playing game first.
I mean, you know,
could they make it out of the playing game? So let me think.
You know,
because right now the way the standings are currently constructed, you got Brooklyn who will be in the playoff and that play-in mix, and I don't think that's a matchup that they want. I don't care if Kristaps is there or not. But Kyle Kuzma has played so well defensively with Kristaps, KCP, and Kyle Kuzma. That's pretty daggone good. I like bringing Saddle back. I think he is somebody that doesn't turn the ball over. So, yeah, I think that they could be competitive. I don't see them coming out to play, though, unfortunately, at this juncture with Kristaps still kind of adjusting to this new situation in Washington.
All right, so Ray mentioned some of the tweets on Twitter. The homie Cameron said about Bill and Kristaps. He said both. That's a perfect combo. It's just like Wall and Gortat, but more lethal.
I don't know about that.
John Wall he's
more
excited.
Of a facilitator. Yeah, I mean, I understand his excitement.
Yeah.
I mean, his enthusiasm, but John Wall was a facilitator first. Bradley Beal isn't that. Bradley Beal is a scorer first.
You talk about health now. When John Wall is healthy, John Wall is the top 10 player in the league for real. Like a young healthy John Wall.
For real.
He's like 25-10 in his sleep. And we'll dunk on you. So.
Oh, I agree. A healthy John Wall is the top 10 player. I agree with you. On Twitter as well, at @free_thinking1 says Bill more accomplished in every regard.
I agree with that. Nothing wrong with that. Accolades do matter too.
Real quick. My question about that is though, but all right. So how many? What makes you that type of player in terms of consistency? So how many years has Bill really had? I'm trying to think about off the head of straight dominance.
Dominance? I mean, as the guy?
I guess as the guy. I'm going to say this. Dominance as the guy. All right, yes.
Okay.
How many
years? I wouldn't say dominance, right? I think dominance
scoring,
is
prolific scoring.
It's been a prolific scorer. Right. I would say the past 3 years.
3 years?
Past three years.
Right. All right. 3 years, right, Ray? You say 3 years?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay.
In terms of him being the second guy. I mean, he's had, you know, many years where he's played really good basketball. But these last 3 years, I mean, he made all NBA. He's made a few All-Star appearances.
Yeah.
Was second in scoring. If it weren't for Steph having a point to prove, he would have gagged on. He'd have won the scoring title. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3 years is a good number, I think.
Yeah. It's because it's interesting. I mean, and also this is the thing, and in terms of like we talk about the comparison of injuries, like Brad, this injury thing with Brad ain't no joke. Like it's consistent. You know, a lot of people try to sweep it under the rug, but it's very consistent. That's a problem too. They talk about Porzingis, but that's a problem too.
Early in his career, it was worse. I do believe again, just like he's worked on his game. He works on his body. He works out with Drew Hamlin in the summertime. And you see a difference. There are times where his weight did go up. He said that was due to his girl or his wife being pregnant. But he always comes to camp in shape. He always comes to camp in shape. And I think that it plays a role in how you treat your body and how you maintain him and hold up during a long, grueling season. You know, examples out there like Anthony Davis, to me, he hasn't done as well taking care of his body over the past few seasons. So this is why I think he's had more injuries, although he's had some unfortunate luck. And Dwight Howard, remember how just muscular he was early in his career when he kind of got derailed in his focus and he was struggling with the Kobe dynamic and then the Harden dynamic. You know, you saw him lose muscle mass and he just wasn't the same guy. He was injured. So taking care of your body is significant. And Brad does that, I think, very well. And he's done that better over the years. But he has been often injured, too. Not as much as Porzingis, though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know what I mean? Speaking of Dwight Howard, you know, I was in L.A.
You were. You in L.A. this week?
Yeah,
this past weekend?
Yeah, I was there.
You saw LBJ, right?
I saw LBJ, yeah. He put up 56. I was there in the Warriors, you know, Warriors LA game doing big things. You know, the air when I came back on this side of town, the air was kind of different. I felt non-elitist. Wasn't in my best life when I was on this side of town.
From PA to LA, you went from like off the map to, hey, I'm relevant. Matt Stafford was good, baby.
I was this close day to Magic Johnson. Like, I got a picture of the back of his head.
You got a picture of the back
of his head. Because he was on the floor, you know, doing the, you saw that, you know, he was criticizing Westbrook. I was like right there.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. But I couldn't.
Why didn't you?
He couldn't turn around.
That man said, I got a picture of the back of his head.
Yeah, pause.
That's that Hulk Hogan stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, bro. So you only got to go there. This is supposed to be a show of love. This is a situation of love right now,
man.
Why you won't go on me right now, right? It's messed up, bro.
I tell my son about it all the time, man. I'm like, dude, you know wrestling's fake. But Wole didn't. He wrote a letter. He was really concerned about the well-being of Hulk Hogan. He's really a fan. So he respects you for that. So people look up to you, bro. It is love.
I appreciate you, man, on your backhanded compliment.
What else did you do in L.A.? If you don't mind going into it.
Let's see.
What did you eat?
You went to In-N-Out?
I went into like this. So me and my brother tried to sneak into this bar that we had Robert Ori and Michael Cooper.
Mm-hmm.
Like we did. My brother was telling you that I effed up the church's money, but it really wasn't. Because I thought he was like, he waved me in. Like, hey, come on, let's go. And I'm thinking that he got us in. Like, we just got in off some sneak stuff type stuff. So then he's like, yo, put your hands in your pocket. What are you talking about? Like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because they're supposed to have a wristband to get in.
Oh, gotcha.
So I put my hand in my pocket, not know. Definitely, like, oh, fool, you didn't think of, like, you ain't sneak us in, right? So then I'm thinking, like, we're going to walk towards the back to sneak in, like, and be cool. But he just had me stay, like, going to the wrong side. And the lady who was managing the whole thing was right on his shoulder. And he was like, yeah, she's staring at me. I was like, bro, it's too late now. Then she was like, dude, you got a wristband. Are you supposed to be here? This is a private party. I was like, my brother's like, oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, we got confused. I had to play it off, but yeah.
Did you say I'm African? I don't understand.
I don't know. I could have said I was a prince.
You could have said.
Maybe I would have said that, man. It would have been good. But anyway, man, we'll talk about me later.
Remember, whenever you go out of town, always carry the flowers like in Coming to America. And
I feel you, man. I told you, man, you got African roots. Anyway, hey, more me at talk. We'll have UMBS men's basketball coach Jason Crafton on the show after the break. You're listening to the Urban Sports Team.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces on Empire Media. EmpireMedia.com.
Straight out of ATL. Got young one. Chopping that thing, baby. Swiss beats. Full surface.
When I'm drunk in the club, I might start. Block party in the hood, I might start. Underground downtown, I might start. Give me the key to the city, I'ma lock this. They ain't gon' take me alive, and you can bet that. Hit him with a chest at, hit him with a neck at. Show me where the rest at. They in the same building, living like a mess pack. 4 miles from where the deck at. You and me gon' ride over to the other side. It's how these motherfuckers die. First make a prank call and get the kids out the house. Ain't trying to kill no kid, but I'ma turn it lights out. Money, then I'm kicking her out. I spit game to your wife, then we robbing your house. Not good that day that we're gripping the screen. If you got it and I want it, I ain't calling your name. Just lay it down, boy, like I'm balling. See, just get your chest to the lap.
You are listening to the Urban Sports Scene with Will T, Ray Jeezy, and myself, Wole. Ray.
It's always my task. It's a task that I love to do, baby, introducing our guests on the show. And our next guest, coaching resume spans nearly 2 decades, which began at Villanova University. where this individual served as a video coordinator for 2 seasons under head coach Jay Wright. It was during this time where our guests would provide mentorship to 2 future NBA guards, an all-star and NBA champion Kyle Lowry and former NBA guard Randy Foy. His coaching career would then bring him right here to the DMV area, where he served as an assistant as well as associate head coach at the U.S. Naval Academy. During his stint at Navy, our guest would continue to aid the development of many talented players and was said to be instrumental in the growth of 2008 Patriot League Player of the Year, Greg Spink, and future pro baller, J.J. Avila. Our guest coaching journey will ultimately land him at Nyack College, which was extra special as this individual is a proud graduate as well as a former member of the Nyack College basketball squad, where he played for 4 years and served as team captain. Our guest is credited with turning around the Nyack program, which posted a 1-26 record the season prior to his arrival, but more than doubled their conference wins during our guest's tenure. Our guest's experience also includes coaching the Delaware Bluecoats of the NBA G League. He's currently the head coach of the Fighting Hawks of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and as a UMES graduate of 2003, I'm proud to welcome to the Urban Sports Scene, Mr. Jason Crafton. Welcome, brother.
Fellas, what's going on, Urban Sports Scene? Happy to be on the show. It's me at conference tournament time, so the squad is ready. I'm ready. Appreciate the intro, man. Man, you're making me feel old as we go through. all those years.
Hey, we the same age, man. Listen,
I know. Don't do that. Yeah, I know. Don't say old. We are the same. So,
we are seasoned. We're seasoned vets, my man. Hey, listen. Hey, congratulations. I couldn't even name everything. I wish I could give you more of an introduction, but you know, time is sensitive, and we know you got we got a big tournament coming up this weekend. You got to get to it.
Definitely. So, just thinking of the tournament, man. This week, you know, the MEAC tournament's going down. You're taking on UNC, UNC Central. UMES finished the season winning 3 out of 4 games, so you were doing some big things. What's the vibe of the team going into the MEAC tournament?
You know what? I think we're confident. You know, I think that our guys have expectations to actually get something done in this tournament. And I think that, you know, for all the people that have been around Maryland Eastern Shore basketball, that's not something that's been real, you know, in the past, you know. But you look at what we've done in this conference season and throughout the year, we've been very competitive. We've been very competitive. So for our guys right now, they have expectations, and we have expectations of the program. And I believe we haven't played our best basketball yet. So we've played some good basketball, but we haven't played our best basketball. And I think the league has seen that, not just within league, but also outside of the league and some and competitive non-conference games that we've won and also competed in. So we're here taking one game at a time, but we feel like we got enough juice here to try to make a run at this thing.
So, Coach, would you say, like, you know, you played, like, UConn pretty tough in the season. Would you say, like, playing a team like that gives you even additional confidence in this tournament?
I don't know if it's necessarily that or, you know, I think when you come to the MEAC tournament, you know, and the MEAC does a great job with this because a lot of schools at our level, mm-hmm. the conference tournament is played at the higher seeds gym. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you come to the MEAC, so you get 30 minutes to go shoot around on game day at the Scope. So mm-hmm. when you played at UConn in that type of facility, that type of arena, and you played some of those big money games, you know, that we played in the non-conference and been competitive, that kind of prepares you just for the atmosphere that you're going to see. Gotcha. Not necessarily opponent, but just kind of playing in those type of facilities. The depth perception is different when you shoot the basketball than having an ice ring under you. So uh-huh. they've already been in those scenarios where it's cold and, you know, all that type of stuff. So I think it's less about the opponents that we play, more about the venues.
Absolutely. And you all defeated UNC Central in February. The score was 79-66. So how confident is your squad coming into this game, or you just said the mindset like this is a brand new season basically because one loss and you out? What's your squad's focus level and how are you preparing them for this game?
Yeah, you know, we've been taking it one day at a time, and we kind of broke this down. We played our last game of the regular season on Thursday. We broke it down to phases, and phase one for us was to kind of take a step back. We gave them 2 days to kind of catch their breath, kind of relax their bodies, you know, coach has been on them all season, you know, and just kind of give them a chance to recover a little bit. And that was phase one. Let's recover. You know, it's been a grind this year. We've had some competitive games. First time in a long time, Manly Shaw sure has been in battles like nightly. You know, like
absolutely.
You yes. know? And there's a lot of physical and mental wear and tear that comes from that. So we wanted to do that. Phase two was then we wanted to really tighten up our skills. So we got some extra skill instruction in and had a couple of days of just getting some skill workouts and really just working with the bigs, tightening up some footwork and some things schematically with our guards, getting some extra shots and just gaining some confidence on some things in that level. And then we wanted to tighten up our execution on offense and defense. We worked on some of that today. And then tomorrow we'll start preparing for North Carolina Central, which is a common opponent. So that's really where our mindset's been. It's been less about Central, more about us.
Coach, Coach, this is Will. Pleasure to meet you, by the way.
What's going on, Will?
You went to Morgan.
I went. I'm a Morgan State alumni. I'm a Morgan State alumni. My brothers went to UMBS. I went to Morgan. All HBCU, especially MEAC conference basketball and football teams, I gladly support. So, but I do. You gave out a very impressive plan of how you've gotten. You know, how you transitioned from the regular season into the tournament confidence. From a preparation and a mindset. Let me ask you this: What two players do you need to take that next? Not take that next step necessarily, but for them to, well, I will say for lack of a better term, take that next step for you guys to advance all the way through the tournament.
You know what's interesting about postseason is it always ends up being somebody that you never thought. You know, like it always, you know, the usual suspects for us are, you know, the guys that you've seen. You know, Nate Pollard's all-defensive team for us. He's been a big-time double-double guy for us multiple times during the season. Sean Phillip is an all-MEAC player for the second time. You know, he's been big for us. Chase Davis has been an all-rookie player. Kevon Boyle's local Bayside player of the year a few years ago has really grown as a player. So those guys have been big for us all season. Zion Styles, our second week scorer, Dom London. We've kind of got six or seven guys that have been really key components to the season. So really, to me, it's not really about the guys that have been the featured guys. I'm really looking for somebody, a wild card guy, to step up and do something that they haven't done in the regular season. Especially now we've been dealing with some injuries and different things like that. So I'm looking for somebody to come off the bench and maybe be a spark and have a stat line. You're like, wow, who's that guy? What's he doing? You know, in our senior night, Mayowa Akinsanya came out and made some huge plays. 50% from the free throw line during the season, goes 4 for 4 down the stretch and makes some big time catch and finish plays, and scores above his average. You know, like those are the type of guys you're looking for. Someone off the bench that in a key moment can just come in and make some big plays. That always seems to be the key factor in March.
You're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Right now we are chatting with University of Maryland Eastern Shore men's basketball coach Jason Crafton. And you just mentioned one name, of course, that stood out to me, and that's Chase Davis. Hey, you know where he's from. He's from right here in PG County, the DMV, so we got to represent. But also we had his – Team Durant coach on our show 2 weeks ago, and he's just raving about his freshman year. Speak to his talent level and what's his potential under your tutelage at UMBS.
You know, first off, I got to shout out his brother, Steph, and he actually put me on to Chase, and I knew his older brother from back when I was a Division II head coach. So I met Chase for the first time. Chase might have been like 8 years old. So it's just been a joy. I've known his family for a long time. We're familiar with each other, so it was an easy recruit for us in terms of just like the familiarity with each other. And his brother was already like, hey, I think he'd be a great player for you. He knew my coaching style and everything. So it was it's just been a pleasure coaching him. He's a tough, hard-nosed kid that just works. And he's really now added some IQ to his game. And that was the biggest thing we talked with his high school coach about, his AAU people about, his family about, was just raising his IQ. So where he's benefited most from his college experience is just taking advantage of film sessions and just kind of becoming a student of the game. Now he's added some change of pace to his game and being able to stop his body, control his body, and make good reads. He came in as a guy that could score the ball. Now he's a guy that can not just score the ball, but he can also make the right reads on offense. And that's been his growth as a freshman. The 6-3s he made last game against Central, I'm sure they're very aware of that, so he'll have a lot of ball pressure on him. He's grown as a jump shooter, but just can't say enough. The kid just works every single day. Great kid, and happy to have him on our side.
Awesome. I actually have a kid that I coached. He's in the See, look at me. I'm trying to plug this kid. He went to visit UMES, actually, named Fonnie Lewis. He's actually in the state championship game. Well, like semis. He's a point guard for Eleanor Roosevelt High School. So he's already visited Eastern Shore. I'm trying to get him to go there.
Let's do it. Well, Roosevelt's always got some tough players, man. So if he's a Roosevelt player, we know he's tough.
Yeah, he's tough. Fonnie tough. Fonnie is tough. I won't even lie. I'm not saying that because I coached the kid. But if I didn't coach the kid, I would say this.
No question. Good
shameless
stuff.
Plug.
Don't say shameless plug. Fonnie's like that. Don't say it's not a shameless plug.
No, it's a shameless plug because you coached him.
I've known Coach O'Connell over there for a while.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
Does a great job with those guys. And I go way back with that Roosevelt program, back to when Glenn Ferrello was there when I was in the Naval Academy.
Okay.
So, Coach, we have had some talented guys in UMS history. I know sometimes UMS basketball gets clowned, but you know what? That's all we've had all these years. We didn't have a football team.
I know. Don't do it right.
Maryland State College in like 1970-something. So all we've had is basketball. We've had some guys who got some NBA looks. So it's not impossible what you're trying to do. And I haven't been back on campus since probably like 05, so you got to bring me back. But I'm rooting for you guys, and I'm hoping that you will be able to tap into the recruitment in this area, which, like I said, the DMV, DC, of course, Maryland, Virginia, because it is a wealth of talent. And you see that the spotlight on HBCUs is growing. I believe that, you know, you can get some talent there, and the school and the alumni, the students will all rally behind you. So, you know, I'm rooting for you. My heart is there. Is there anything you want to add before you leave about just what you're building into, you know, just your thoughts going into the MEAC tournament?
Yeah, I mean, just in terms of, I know that the UMES has always got knocked in the past about not recruiting the DMV. And I want to just get it out there that, you know, Nate Pollard's from the Richmond area, you know, and he's all defensive player. Chase Davis, you know, he's from the DMV, and he's an all rookie player. We've got Deshaun Phillip, who's was an all rookie player and now just got voted all conference third team. He's from Dunbar High School in Baltimore. Kevon Boyles, like I said, from a Bayside Player of the Year. He's a local player, third on our team in scoring. So, you know, that's three or four DMV guys right there that are making big-time plays for us and a big part of what we're doing. So, and then we've got guys from New York, and we've got Cali guys, and we've got a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. So we love the DMV. We want to be a program that recruits this area aggressively. Mm-hmm. We feel like there's a lot of talent there. And I think that you see what we're building here, being a program that didn't play last year, I think we were, and being picked dead last in the country and sitting here talking about being one of the more competitive, having one of the more competitive seasons in the most more recent years, you know, is a credit to our team, you know, and our guys. We're top 10 in the country in three defensive categories, steals per game, steals percentage, and turnovers forced. This team gets after it. They're gritty. They're hungry. And they're the type of program that you're going to want to rally behind, and hopefully we can keep these guys here and start building this thing and put Maryland Eastern Shore in a place where it needs to be. You know, we don't have football. We've got people around, alums like you guys, that want to see competitive basketball. We want to get past just the moral victories, and we want to be a program that gets the victories and moves on and plays against the NCAA tournament. If we can do that this year, great. If not, that's what we're working towards.
Definitely, yeah, we're coming back. Trust me. We're going to be there on campus. We're going to do this live.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And shout out to the former basketball players like Dre Newsome, Kevin Wallace. Kevin Wallace, yeah. T-Trotter, Reese, when we was there at the show for our freshman year. That's who was getting like pro looks back, and then we were down there.
Yeah.
So shout out to all those individuals, man.
Tyler Hines is coming out to the game this weekend. Shout out to Pops Haley. Haley, who played here, who's been a big time supporter of the program. So many guys have come back and spoke to our guys and just been around and been supporters of the program. And that's what it's all about, man. So much love to everybody. And like I said, we're trying to build this thing. It's not going to happen with one person. It's going to be a community of everybody being a part. Tim Parham, who played professionally.
Tim was there. Yeah. I remember Tim got there freshman year.
the hook shot.
So many great people, so many great names, so many great players, and now we want to have some great teams. And I think that's the thing about Eastern Shore. It's been a lot of, you know, guys that have come through here, and there's been some names and some. We want to put together more quality teams of talent to be able to go do some quality things together with some consistency, not just once every 25, 30 years. We want it to be a household name where it's something that you can feel proud about. Wear a Hawk basketball shirt and feel good about it.
Oh, definitely.
You made me smile. You made me smile, Coach. Heights Athletic Center, baby. I'm Heights Athletic Center.
Exactly, yes, right? Yes, I know
sir.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hey, Coach, thanks for being on. We appreciate you so much. Thank you so much. And hopefully, again, like Ray said, we'll go down there and do this live.
Let's do it, man. All four, man. Appreciate you guys.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, that was the UMBS coach, man. You know, he's going to make us – it's going to make us proud, man. Coach Jason Crafton. He's going
to
make us proud.
I know. It's going to be hard to be objective when we have all these other coaches. Cause, you know,
I know, right?
The HBCU coaches are amazing. You know what I'm saying? We've enjoyed having all of them on the show. Mm. And I, like I said, I think Norfolk is the favorite. They should be. They're going to make some noise. But my heart still with UMBS.
You know it,
let's do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Norfolk,
they real though, right?
They real. Norfolk State, they definitely you look at that team, you see the way they played and kind of how they went through the MEAC tournament, conference this year, and you definitely say, man, that's a team that could, you know, that deserves to not be one of the first, you know, first four in. It should be a team that's in the regular 64, and I honestly believe they can get past the first weekend.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, just like Coach Jones said, and even with Coach Crafton stated too as well. The MEAC is tougher than it's been in a long time, bro. Real talk.
You know, Morgan State.
Morgan State
is finished number two.
Nah, Howard did.
Howard Morgan finished number three. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you have three teams. Any of the top three teams in the MEAC, they definitely can get out of that first weekend.
Yeah, you got UNC, even USC. I think UNC Central was already too. Their record's pretty well in the okay in the MEAC. So, I mean, to me, this is a competitive MEAC. And even I mentioned the UConn game, is that when they're going to these other venues, they're competing. Now, I know it's like he said, like you're just getting, you know, it's just different of an environment, but still. If knowing that you competed with a team that's in the top 25 at that particular point in time, I don't know if they're still in the top 25.
No.
They're not anymore, right? But knowing you compete with that type of squad, it lets you know that on your good day, you can compete with anybody.
Yeah, it builds a sense of confidence, man. And that sense of confidence in anything you do in life is important. That's the building, a stepping stone to you going on to better things and greater things.
Yeah, and that's real talk. All right, so subscribe to our podcast on Stitcher, Spotify, tune in on iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. Also follow us on Twitter at Urban Sports Scene, IG at Urban Sports Scene. Like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page as well. Make sure you subscribe to our Urban Sports Scene YouTube channel. Check out the home of the Urban Sports Scene, Empire at EmpireMedia.com. And this show can be found on Podcast DC. Download the Podcast DC app to hear all of the Empire shows as well as other great content. Anyway, we appreciate everybody tuning in. Man, appreciate this dope-ass MEAC show, man. HBCU show. Appreciate Coach Jones, Coach Crafton, UMES, Norfolk State, some of the folks in the back end who helped set these interviews up. You know, I appreciate you all, man, because even the sharing the content, we appreciate everything.
Yep, and big shout-out to me for coming into the studio to do the show today.
That's amazing. Big shout-out to Will T for coming into the studio and doing the show.
Nah, I just got to go back outside, kick it with some of the fans. Yeah, nah, exactly. I mean, there's fans outside.
Oh, they coming for you?
Nah, I mean, it was a couple people that knew where the studio is. You know,
put your mask on, Shorty. Shorty, put your mask on, Shorty, when you walk out there.
Say what you say. What you say, right?
I just told him. I said, put his mask on when you walk out there.
Absolutely,
Mask up, Shorty.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
Walk to that moon, bro.
You like, got jokes.
Behold. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, you've been listening to the Urban Sports Scene
for ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Hey, man, can you lead us out, big homie?